I'm going to take you through this, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong about having maybe now beef.
Okay.
So last night, I usually don't do this, but I was so into the moment last night during the game. I was live tweeting or whatever you call it on X, just a couple, during the Alonzo at bat. When Alonzo comes up, they said, quote, "I can't promise patience if Pete and Nimmo don't get it done here."
I saw that this morning, but I did see that, yep.
Okay, then the next one.
I laughed, by the way, when I saw that.
Yeah, then the next one.
Knowing you,
I was going to lose my mind. Yeah. All right, the next one, although I promise not to overreact in March or April. The next one was Alonzo had to do that, and he did. Simple enough.
Okay.
Then afterward, I went on SNY, did the sports night hit and said basically the same thing that I'm saying with you now. I thought Pete needed that, a big moment early on, set the tone, all these different things.
Okay.
Now, C-Mac, who does the overnight show here on The Fan, I wake up to see this, that WFAN Twitter account posted out. C-Mac, quote, "To have this feeling like Pete Alonzo better come through, it just makes me laugh." He calls it laughable for people that thought that Alonzo had to come through in that spot. Now, I'm not saying that C-Mac is going directly off of my tweets or what I said on SNY, but I am getting the sense that maybe that had a factor in it. And C-Mac went on his show and he did his thing. Do you think that he was in any way responding to what I had to say about it?
I think what Chris is doing is getting a little payback to those that, because I saw some of his other tweets that he feels minimized the Yankees this offseason. Now, I don't know if you're part of that group. What is your relationship with Chris?
Very good.
It was always pretty good,
very
right?
good, yeah. I have a good relationship with him. But the Alonzo stuff specifically, I felt like, and I'm not saying I'm the only one who did it, but in real time, I was calling Alonzo out. And then after the game on SNY, after the Mets post game, I was saying he needed that. And then the response to basically say he thinks it's laughable for anybody who says that Alonzo needed that. I felt like maybe that was a little indirect, direct.
I don't feel that. I don't sense that. But I could be wrong. There is a problem with Chris that you don't know about.
Do you think that C-Mac was responding directly to me there?
Yes. I think that he totally saw what you were tweeting or Xing, and he was going right at you, 100%.
Well, you know that he was going to see. He loves this stuff.
Yeah, no, I know. Now, I don't have beef with C-Mac. But, I mean, the fact that you would say it's laughable.
Well, yeah, the wording's interesting. Well, so what do we do now? Do you lay in the weeds and wait for maybe one of his tweets that either proves to be erroneous or a little aggressive
or a little bit early.
And then you pounce back in?
We've had a fun back and forth going back to last postseason. I have respect for C-Mac, and he's doing the overnight, doing a great job on there. I love the strong opinion. I will just say, I'll leave it with this. You don't want this smoke.
An idiot, man.
don't want this smoke. No, it's not even a bad Yankee thing. I mean, I haven't been hating on the Yankees.
No.
Maybe I wasn't as high on the offseason as everybody else, but I wasn't making fun of them for the torpedo bats. I think the Yankees deserve credit there. Maybe C-Mac, he wishes he was buddies with Booney, like the way. No, I don't know where it's coming from, but I felt like there was an indirect little...
I think Chris is pretty measured. I think it might be overthinking this year.
Okay.
I think it might be more of a group thing than a Sal thing.
Okay.
I think.
Maybe.
Well, we could ask him at some point.
Yeah, at some
point. I'll text him. Yeah. I'll see if... try to get some answers.
See, that's the way he should have done it, by the way. If he really wanted to just, keep it behind the scenes, he would have texted Sal, be like, hey, by the way, this wasn't a big deal. What are you talking about? But he went online with it. That's the problem.
Here's why, which makes it a little bit of a different situation. Here's why I feel like I think it was indirect, because I know this game, because I did the overnights. So what I was on
trying to keep yourself entertained.
Yeah, what do you think? I was going to Dan Quinn stuff BT with Dan Quinn. You just start firing at everybody, seeing hopefully somebody bites and give you a little more attention maybe during the day.
You got to respect the hustle, I guess, right? Well,
I know the playbook.
That does happen a lot. People chime into other people's world like, boy, I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
I find it interesting. I follow some of the stuff that goes around here. There's a lot of jumping in and jumping out and, responding to other tweets and other things. Like,
when you're climbing up that
ladder.
That's
not my thing. Yeah, no, I get it. Like I said, I respect the hustle. It's not my thing.
Right.
I respect the hustle, but I think that Chris is well-intentioned.
Yes. Yeah, I don't.
I do.
It's not real beef.
No.
But
maybe.
But it could be. could be sports talk beef. All right, BT and Sal, the fan. Let's get back to some of those calls before Coco gets upset. 888-808-1019. Linda's in Forest Hills.
Linda.
What's up, Linda?
Hello.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
What's cooking?
Morning, Linda.
Good morning. About Pete. Listen, guys. I can't with the Mets fan delusion. There is not a Mets fan alive last night that didn't think to themselves, bases loaded, nobody out, Pete's going to hit into a double play. Come on.
I wasn't thinking that, Linda. It was me personally. I could just say that I was waiting to see, okay, let's see what he does. I didn't have a pessimistic view of it. I wasn't optimistic. I just wanted to see what he would do in that spot.
But this goes back to, and I give you credit, Sal, and this was reinforced when you guys had Harold Reynolds on. He said that the Mets need a bat and pitcher. The expectation was, after signing Soto, in addition to Pete, that the Mets would add another bat. And these past games now, granted it's early, this proves it. Pete is not a three-hitter. He's not even a four-hitter at this point.
Well, I mean, and thank you for the call, Linda. We appreciate checking, as always. I'm not ready to go there just yet. Again, me saying I would have Vientos 3 and you saying you would have had Vientos 2 or Soto 3, that's not a huge deal in saying, oh, my God, they desperately need a bat. They might need another middle-of-the-order bat. Hey, maybe they have one in Alvarez if he comes back and produces that way. Who knows? Or maybe somebody from the minors. We don't know. Maybe they do go out and get one. And maybe it replaces Nimmo. But if you look at that lineup, and let's say they did get one more big bat, BT,
yep,
you would hope it would be a lefty. But again, you have to look at the fit of this team. The Mets are pretty log-jammed right now. Lindor, Soto, Vientos, say additional hitter 4, mm-hmm, Pete 5, Nimmo 6. I mean, that is a...
That's nice. Yeah, that's a different... It looks different. It feels different.
And I think it's already a good lineup on paper. I just have my doubts about Pete being the protection for Juan Soto.
As do I. I think everybody that is objective about this has to have those concerns. I still think the Mets are going to need another bat. The only difference that would change that for me is if Alvarez comes back and becomes like a right, true difference maker. Because right now, I'm not saying that second base can't become a strength. Right now, it's not. You know, Siri's interesting. Like, the Siri experiment already is yeah, interesting.
He's fun.
He is fun.
Good and bad.
I like live wires like that. It's a grind. It's monotonous baseball. So to have a guy like Siri out there, you know, I don't think it's a bad thing. But I'm not sure if he's going to hit more than 210. I don't love the DH. So to me, second base, catcher, center field, DH are things that are fluid that could be either filled by an Acuna, a Mauricio, a Beatty if he wakes up, an Alvarez if he comes back and starts raking. But I don't think that this is necessarily the Mets lineup that goes into the postseason if they get there. I just don't.
Me neither. And Marte was productive last night, batting leadoff in for Lindor, who was out, obviously a home run last night. Marte, Winker could be a decent combo, but that's one area where Nimmo's not going anywhere. So
yeah, he can't, not with the contract.
Right, so maybe one area that they could upgrade would be DH. Brendan is on Long Island. What's up, Brendan?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey. I just wanted to bring up a Yankee point here. So, you know, if they really are this legit, and I know this is like a way too early prediction, so that's kind of like the fun of it, but, you know, at what point do they decide, all right, we're all in, we're going to make the big move, because I don't want to do another one of these, like, yeah, one-year rental type, one-off Eric Fetty, you know, pitcher types, because I do think they need a pitcher, as well as, you know, I think they can get by with the defensive third baseman. I don't think they got to go necessarily, you know, all in for that. But Sandy Alcantara, I think that's the guy, and especially more so for his contract, just like the fact that you're going to get 3 postseasons out of him, paying him basically Stroman's contract. I mean,
I think both. Brendan, I think both the Yanks and the Mets are going to be going after Alcantara. I really do. I mean, there's no way the Marlins aren't going to trade him. Now, is it this year or next year? I don't know when, but there's no way he's getting the contract that he's going to probably get on the open market. You can bank it. He's gone. They're trading him.
This has come up before. If I'm the Yankees, I am not investing more in starting pitching. I don't know how much.
What if Hill doesn't come back?
I know, but BT, right, how much are they going to invest in starting pitching? Would you rather, if you had one big piece, not saying they can't get a bat and an arm,
yeah,
but Alcantara is a big piece.
He is. You're going meaning to you're giving up a lot to get him.
Yeah, and not just finances, obviously. In this case, it would be prospects. Yep. So if you had one big move to make, Are you investing in the bat or the arm? Now, maybe you can make the case. You see how these young guys, if they all start to hit, then maybe you make the case that it's another arm. I just feel like the Yankees have invested so many resources in the rotation.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd do that again.
That's a tough one to answer now because I don't know when Stanton comes back. I don't know when he'll, I know when they project him to come back. I don't know what he'll looks like necessarily when he comes back. I would almost say I would prefer like a slightly above average righty bat and a slightly above average innings eater.
Right.
Just to round out depth of the staff rather than that one potent big, power move where you give up a Lombard or somebody. I'm not giving him up.
I would agree with that. I mean, look, nobody's turning away Alcantara, but you're going to have to give up a lot to get him. All right, BT and whereas the Mets, they need, if I'm going to invest in one big piece, if I'm the Mets, it's going to be in the rotation, not in the lineup.